that anxious, anxiety-free mind is possible, only you know that you are definitely going to reap the result, fruit. And you also understand it is not, it is just Ishvara, Bhagavan's grace. What is it which really invokes the grace? Grace is there for the grace to manifest in the form of fruit of result. No? The effort must be there in the form of performing. A karma, any secular or sacred, that will be adequate effort. Adequate effort implies you are doing something consciously, attentively, and which will really, you know, followed by the result, which is the manifestation of grace ordained by the law. Then you are not anxious. That is why this, you know, the Shastram talks about how one can be. If you involve Bhagavan in everything, then you are completely free from anxiety. Once anxiety is not there, your attention is total. And the more attentive you are, more perfect you are in doing what you are doing. The more perfect you are, more efficiently you pursue. The more efficiently you do, more effective the fruit will be. Isn't it? More effective. This is secret. Then you have better enjoyment. You enjoy better. That's also you understand here. But the same thing, whatever you do, however perfectly you do, however attentively you do, it is definitely, it produces phalam, but that phalam, the best of the phalam of any karma will be artha kama dharma, but not moksha. That you have to understand. So understanding the limitation of karma, what karma can do, what karma cannot do. That also we have to know. What this medicine can do, paracetamol, what it can do, what it cannot do, we should know. Then we know the limitation of paracetamol. Understand? Even though it's a painkiller. What it cannot do also you should know. Simply eating too many pills and then to get rid of the pain, you don't know what are all other consequences, isn't it? You should know what it cannot do. Similarly, what a ritual, as a religious sacred karma, or a secular activity, a mundane activity, when performed, what it can do, what it cannot do. Then you will know, okay, that is when you will be totally inclined for knowledge, knowing, not simply for doing. Without doing, no knowing is possible. Understand? But me doing alone is not enough for knowing. For knowledge of truth, without doing anything, then how can you know? You are not ready for anything. How can you know the truth? You have to do, you know, to live the life. But even doing, you can enjoy the best of everything. If you do it properly, perfectly, you know, without any anxiety, if you involve Ishvara, Bhagavan there, then you do it, enjoy this, you know the limitations, then you will be prepared for knowledge. That is where karma is discussed in here. The next mantra, yada lelayate hyarchihi samidhe havyavahane tad ajyabhagavantarena ahutihi pratipadayet. Okay. So the first mantra tells you the importance of performing any ritual for the fruit, and the fruit of result be fruit of action being definite, and how the rituals, the sacred karma, religious activities are already, the know-how of the everything is revealed in the mantras revealed to the rishis. And said in the first mantra. So those who want to live this life properly, you know, and completely, to make this life complete and total, you know, and to be prepared for the knowledge, to prepare mentally for knowledge, it is very important for one to do secular and sacred karma. Understand now? Religious and mundane activities. And especially the religious ritual is a worship from the karma kanda. Therefore, he says, this is the only way we can acquire punyam. This is the only way to perform, to do the, you know, things perfectly well in this. We had to know and we had to perform to really gain the result. That is said in the first mantra. And that performance of ritual will take care of our knowledge of the limitation of karma, thereby to be naturally inclined for knowledge. And the next mantra, the second mantra, talks about the performance of the Agnihotram karma. Why? Because you don't need to talk, the Upanishad, the whole karma kanda prescribes rituals. Performance of rituals, in fact, deals with the Nohuva of rituals. Again, Upanishad comes where? End of the Veda, Jnana Kanda portion. Why should Upanishad also talks about too many rituals? Not necessary. It only tells the performance of Agnihotram karma. Why? But if you know one ritual, all other rituals become as well known. Known means what? At least how it is performed. Just a general idea, overall idea, view of how to perform a ritual becomes very clear. Don't need to do everything. So the second mantra, why Agnihotram? Because when you say Agnihotram is the simplest of the Vedic rituals. And what is the most expensive, now, what is the biggest of the Vedic rituals? Ashwamedha. So Ashwamedha Yaga, who is the performer of Ashwamedha? Suppose if I tell you, doctor, I am going to perform Ashwamedha Yaga in this country, you will laugh at me and go away. This Swamini, care of platform, wandering here and there, you know, doesn't have any penny, she wants to perform Ashwamedha Yaga. What do you mean? Even now in India, we have many kings who were able to perform. Even all the rich people put together cannot perform Ashwamedha Yaga nowadays. No way, the most expensive. There was a time when there were rich people and kings who were able to perform Ashwamedha Yagaha. Ashwamedha Yagaha will bless one with so much of prosperity and power and dharma, everything. Very, very most effective and, you know, the most expensive, the biggest ritual is Ashwamedha Yaga. That is why any other yaga is between what, like, you know, akara makara yor madhye sarva, okay, sarve varnaha, you can say. Between a guttural and labial, all the varnas. Like that, you can say, between, you know, A and Z, all English alphabets, you can say. Similarly here, between Ashwamedha and Ashwamedha and Agnihotram, all the rituals. What is simplest, no, least expensive ritual? Agnihotram. What is the most expensive, the biggest ritual? Ashwamedha. And other rituals, don't need to talk about, okay? All are in between them. So the whole Karma Kanda, first page of Karma Kanda, last page of Karma Kanda, in between, how many are there? We really do not know how many are there. Isn't it? So here, you got to perform Ashwamedha. My God, so much of oblations have to be offered, so many mantras have to be recited, so many priests have to be entertained, so much of dhanam has to be done. Understand? No, not simply, okay, giving something. Not giving food and all that. Annadhanam, godhanam, bhudhanam, vastradhanam. Understand? Swarnadhanam. Lots of things we have to do. So it's all not practical. So we can believe, we don't need to believe, somebody says we are performing. We only nowadays, India people are becoming very commercial, you know. We perform this Guru Payarchi Yagam, okay, to ward off all the ill effects caused by the the positional change of the guru, planet Jupiter, from one house to another house is moving on this day of movement. They're performing a ritual. If you want, send the money, money order. Send the money and then we will do this ritual in your name and for nakshatram and all that. So you'll be relieved of the ill effects. It's okay. Parihara puja is effective. I won't say no. But how they perform, we do not know. But you pay some money, some dosha really has gone. They have taken our doshas. You don't do it well also. That problem is there. That is why. That's what they do. Really speaking, that we do not have proper people who perform rituals. Understand? Anyway, so this Agnihotram is a ritual which is to be performed by a grihastha. First, what is the qualification? Everybody cannot perform any ritual as they want. Okay? People nowadays, now people think, take a small copper vessel and put some cow dung cakes, put some ghee, kindle the fire, put some ghee and you chant Gayatri Mantra, it becomes a Agnihotram ritual. People say that. And whoever performs Agnihotram is Agnihotri. The performer of Agnihotram ritual is called Agnihotri. It's a Brahmin surname in India. Okay, one of the surnames of Brahmin is what? Agnihotri. Now, anybody perform, you can perform Agnihotram, then what? It removes all the, what is that? They say the bats, vibrations. People make commercial everything, commercialize everything. But really speaking, Agnihotram also, rituals are, there are certain rituals for certain people. And every ritual everybody cannot do. When you perform a ritual also, one has to be qualified to do a ritual. And how it should be done, etc. Like that, Agnihotram is an important ritual to be done by an every grihastha. Which means what? A brahmachari cannot do Agnihotram karma. Unmarried person cannot do Agnihotram karma. One must be a married. One must be patni sametaha. Understand now, one must be with the patni. Only then the karma is accepted, okay? In fact, he starts performing from the day of marriage, really speaking. Day of marriage has performed Agnihotram karma. And his father would have been performing the Agnihotram karma. From the father alone, the son takes fire. And he will start performing it. So that fire is always, Avahani Agnihi is always kept alive. Never gets put off. The fire will always be kept alive. So Nitya Agnihotra means, Nitya Agnihotri means the one who does not stop the performance of the Agnihotram karma even for a day. That is why Agnihotris are stuck with their villages. Wherever they go, they had to come back before the sunset or night time to perform, to be there for next day's thing. Understand? Very, very disciplined life. Very, very disciplined life one has to lead. And one has to take the fire from his father's thing, he starts performing. And he will keep this fire alive, when the person dies, they'll take fire from this and then they'll cremate him. Understand? And by then, he would have given this fire to his son. So it's kept alive. Paramparaya is kept alive. There's Agnihotra means there'll be a fireplace. Like how you all have fireplace in every house here. This is meant for different purposes. It's a different thing. It serves a different purpose. So in every house also, Agnihotri means there will be a place where regularly they have Yagashala, like a small place. It's like every day how you get up in the morning, have shower, go light the lamp and do some offering and ayvedyam and do some arati, do namaskaram. Like that, simplest ritual is the Vedic period. How people were doing their Nitya Puja, the regular Nitya Puja, how were they doing? By doing this Agnihotram. Agnihotram is a daily worship. Every day you bow to Ishvara, you thank Bhagavan. And you do two offerings in the morning, two offerings in the evenings. And who are the mornings? First thing you say, Surya Bhagavan, is invoke the grace of sun god Bhagavan in the form of sun, you invoke also grace of Bhagavan as the subtle manifestation, Hiranyagarbha. Similarly, evening also you perform, you offer oblations to Bhagavan of Agni and also Bhagavan as Hiranyagarbha. This is how you perform this Agnihotram. Now, simplest of the rituals. Agnihotram itself doesn't involve much difficulty, much expenditure, but simple but also very effective, very important. And for other people who want to perform many other rituals also, they need to definitely perform Agnihotram. Without performing Agnihotram, if people perform other rituals, those rituals will not be effective. Understand? And people who perform Agnihotram ritual, understand, ritual, also need to perform some other rituals to make the Agnihotram more effective. So Agnihotram performed, merely performed, really blesses you with some punyam. Agnihotram performed with other rituals produce more punyam. Understand? It is like simple rice without nuts is less calorious. And rice, the same payasam with a few more nuts makes it what? More calorious. Understand? Similarly, Agnihotram ritual performed merely produces punyam. Agnihotram ritual becomes more effective, more efficacious, produces more punyam. It is performed with other rituals also. So how Agnihotram ritual is performed? Simply said here, we are not expected to do the Agnihotram ritual by studying this mantra, just to have an idea of how Agnihotram ritual is performed. We are not expected to perform. We are not interested in Agnihotram, nor are we interested in the punyam gained as a result of Agnihotram ritual. We are interested in Brahma Jnana, aren't we? So, that is what we have. We can just relax this in this class. Yada
Lelayate
Hachihi. Okay. Samidhe Havyavahane.
Tada
Ajabhagau Antarena
Ahutihi
Pratipadayet. Okay, he says Pratipadayet, the verb. Let's take the verb first always. Pratipadayet. Pratipadayati. Say that now. Pratipadayati. Now I say, Swamini, say, aham biscuit pratipadayami. Understand now? I can say, pratipadayami, podrad. Understand? Pratipadayami. So, pratipadayati. Understand now? Offers. So, pratipadayet means, may one offer. What should one offer? The performance of ritual is a worship. What is a ritual? Agnihotram is a name of a ritual. What is a ritual? A worship. What is it in Sanskritam? Yajnaha. It's what now? Yajnaha or Yagaha or Homaha or Kratuhu. It's all different words used, isn't it? Yajnaha, Yagaha, Kratuhu, Homaha. We have so many words. All these words mean what? Worship. Worship. What is the post? What is the post Vedic word for yajna? Puja. Isn't it? Puja. Same against synonym here. Worship is what? Worship itself is what? You have to remember here. An act of offering. What is an act of offering? Okay, act of offering means something is offered to whom? Ishvara Bhagavan. In the form of a given phenomenon. You offer to Agni is one phenomenon. Who is offered to actually? Bhagavan, the whole. So then Agni becomes what? Devata. Through which you invoke the grace of Ishvara, the whole. Then Vayu is a devata, deity. By invoking so Vayu, you offer oblations. Understand now? So through invoking the grace of Vayu, through the devata, devata becomes a symbol, an altar for Ishvara, the whole. Is it clear now? This is what we do. So it's an act of offering. Therefore, in act of offering, it is not possible for us to give anything to any phenomenon. No phenomenon really receives anything from us. There's no giving and receiving like human beings. We give, we receive. Using, therefore, two hands are there to give, to receive. Understand now? We have hands that we can give. Physically we give, physically we receive. There's such thing called giving and receiving on the part of devatas. Is it clear now? Therefore, there's no real giving. There's no real offering. That is why worship is a symbolic act of offering. What is a yajna? A yajna is a worship, a symbolic act of offering, wherein there's no real offering. Understand now? Really we offer. Why there's a real offering? We offer, but it's not really received like how we receive things. Symbolic act of offering. Through that act of offering, we express our gratefulness to the devatas. Bhagavan, in the form of all the devatas, all the phenomena. Why do we reveal our gratitude to devatas? Because everything we enjoy to live this life, whatever we need, all that we grab from the nature. Understand? Everything we take from nature. Oxygen for breathing. We also understand now. Oxygen we take in, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the dress we wear, the shelter we live, and all other our modes of transportation. If you see the whole life, what all we need to live this life for mind and body and senses, we take from nature. And nature implies all the devatas, all the phenomena. Every phenomenon is Ishvara. All the fear together is Ishvara. Therefore, we are very grateful. We can never give anything back to the nature. We only take from nature. We consume a lot from the nature. Our contribution is always really as though. Understand now? That is why this is as though offering is what worship here. As though we offer. And through that act, symbolic act of offering, we express our gratefulness to the devatas, Bhagavan him of devatas, no, because we acknowledge their abundance of contribution for our well-being. We cannot produce a grain of rice, we cannot produce one drop of water, we cannot produce anything that we have. We take what is, we go and search, what is available. We go, until we find, we won't leave. We find out, we discover. Once we discover, you what already everything already is. But Bhagavan has blessed you with a buddhi also to you make use of it, to use and to discover. Once you discover it, you found what is. Then you use it. No? That is why you have science and technology. You find out what is, then make use of what is. Then live comfortably. Are you creating anything here? No. You only discover what is and make use of what is available. That is why you are given. Understand now? You are blessed with everything. You are not creating anything. Once you are blessed with everything means you have to be grateful or not. Understand? I will be grateful to anybody. I am creating everything. Then you become a different person. Now the head goes like this. I'm not enjoying anything. I'm creating everything. I am getting everything. Come on. Okay? Be calm. You are not creating anything. You are just here. You are here and Bhagavan has sent you with the buddhi also. Understand? To know what is there. and you discover. And everything that you want is given also. Only job is you have to find it where is available, what is available. Then you know, make use of your buddhi to make use of it. Then you live. Therefore you are creating, no. Therefore already everything is means you are just humble. Understand? Be humble and polite and express your gratitude. So we acknowledge that contribution of devatas and you become humble and polite, so grateful. Why? Because don't ever go have any strike. Please, devatas, don't go on strike. Always be blessing as contribute to you thing. So that we will have a comfortable life. Okay? That's this all worship is just to avoid, make these devatas not to go on strike. I mean, that is why we are doing all these things. And be careful, that is what is worship. And we invoke the grace and they'll be pleased and they will be parasparam devan bhavayata. No? Devan bhavayata. Parasparam bhavayantaha. Te devaha vaha bhavayantu. Understand now, this is the actual verse from Bhagavad Gita. He says, devan bhavayata. Anena, may you propitiate devatas. What will they do? Tena, by propitiation, te devaha vaha bhavayantu. May those devatas propitiate in return. If you invoke the grace and they bless you, they also express their acknowledgement of your recognition, of their contribution. So they also propitiate in return. How? Madam Mummari, understand now. We say whenever you want rains, no global warming. Understand now. You can manage. That's why all propitiate devatas and they'll all be functioning properly in their order, proper order. Then there won't be warming. Understand? There'll be warmth. It won't be over warming here. That's a problem, no? See, all these devatas have to be functioning in their respective order. Then everything is in proper order. Any some disorder somewhere, some disturbance, that is why all this, we don't know now, because buddhi is not sharp enough to find out the problem for this. Where is order disturbed? What is it which causes this warming, global warming? People think, now they have come up with lots of ideas to manage the global warming. No? Anyway, at last, dharmam chara. Dharmam chara, one word implies, live in tune with the order. It's the only way to bring the disorder back to order. There's nothing you need to do. We have to find out what do we mean by living a life of dharma. Living in tune with the order. That is enough. You have to know what do we mean by living in tune with the order to manage this disorder in the order in the form of global warming, etc. So here the worship, yagyaha means what? Yagyaha is actually the symbolic act of offering and you express your gratitude to the devatas for all that you are blessed with all, the reverence. Don't give it, I'm giving. That is why in temples we have to be very careful. No ubayam board, okay? We always, when we give, with all politeness, with all humility, with the great reverence, thankfulness, we offer. And then, so because you acknowledge, you express your acknowledgement of their contribution, recognition of their contribution, and wherein definitely, because it's a karma, this act of offering is a will involved karma. Already we have seen satyam, satya kamaha, satyam. These two words tell you the definiteness of phalam, following the fruit, following the rest of the karma. That's why you say here, definitely, devataha vaha bhavayantu. Parasparam bhavayantu, propitiating. So we live in tune with the order. The order also blesses us with all that we want. Now, blessed with all comfortable life, isn't it? Not discomfortful life, but comfortable life. So, devatas also parasparam bhavayanti. Mutually, acknowledging. I acknowledge your contribution, you acknowledge my reverence, and we are what? Thereby, there'll be harmony. There'll be harmony. That is why the very performance of yajna, the purpose of performance of ritual implies living in tune with the order. Okay, that's what, not Ishvara, worship itself is for. For what? It's a ritual. Worship, any worship is to be able to live, you know, in tune with the order, harmony with the order. That's the only way we can be harmonious. So here, that is why he said, that's what is worship. Definitely we'll be blessed with the palam also. That is yajna, isn't it? Yajna. So here, how a yajna should be performed? Pratipadayet, may one offer oblation. Pratipadayet, no, offer. What should one offer? Ahutihi. Look at this. Ahutihi pratipadayet. Ahutihi means ahutihi, means oblation. Offered. That which is offered is ahutihi. எது அர்ப்பணிக்கப்படுகிறதோ கொடுக்கப்படுகிறதோ அதுக்கு பேர் என்ன சொல்றது ஆகுதிஹி. தட் விச் இஸ் ஆஃபர்ட் இஸ் ஆகுதிஹி. சோ அன் ஆப்லேஷன் இஸ் ஆகுதிஹி, இசன்ட் இட்? சோ ஆகுதிஹி, வென் யூ சே ஆப்லேஷன்ஸ்களை, வென் யூ சே ஆப்ஜெக்டிவ் ப்ளூரல் இஸ் ஆகுதிகளை. திஸ் அன் ஆகுதிஹி பிரதிபாதையே, மே ஒன் ஆஃபர் ஆப்லேஷன்ஸ், isn't it? How can you offer oblations? Where should you offer oblations? That the answer comes. Now, when should you offer oblations? He says, exactly, first you do havya vahane samidhe. Havya vahanaha, when the fire is kindled well. When do you offer your oblations? Ahutihi pratipadayet, fine. May one offer oblations. When do you offer oblations? You can't simply offer oblations, no? Samidhe havyavahane. When the fire is kindled well. No, here the fire is called, known by the word havyavahanaha. See, all of you already know the word agnihi. You all know the word agnihi. Agnihi is fire. Why agnihi is called agnihi? Know that? Agre ahutihi nayati iti agnihi. The one who takes all her oblations to the given devatas is called agni. Agre nayati. Munnindra nadathukiravan agnihi. Munnala irundhu. One who takes all, you offer oblations in the fire only. I give it to that Shivadasanji and he takes it to Devi Amma. Okay, understand now. I give something to him and he takes it home to her. Like that, Agni takes to all the other devatas. That's why Agni is the main person, because he's a burner, isn't it? Consumer. That is why Agni is called Agre Nayati Agnihi. That is why Bhagavan also is called Agnihi. Who is the one who, you know, remains as the remaining, as the first and the foremost of the entire creation? Who leads the whole jagat? Now, one who really governs the whole jagat is also called Agnihi. Fire is Agnihi. Actual Agnihi is Bhagavan. That's the meaning of the word Agnihi. And same Agnihi, here he is called what? Havya Vahanaha. Ha, Agni has so many names. Jata Vedaha, Hutashanaha. No, so many words are there to mean Agni. But in this mantra, we have a second name is what? Agnihi is known by the word Havya Vahanaha. Like now, all our BMW is Manushya Vahanam. Understand now. Not sometimes it also becomes Dog Vahanam, because the pets also go in the same car. So it becomes what? Now, sometimes Shunaka Vahanam along with the Manushya Vahanam is BMW. Like that, Havya Vahanaha is who? Here Agnihi. Why? Because havis means oblations. Havis vahati iti havya vahanaha. The carrier of oblations is called havya vahanaha. Like, you know, patra vahanaha is who? Postman. Isn't this? One who brings all the letters is, you know, is a vahanaha. He's also, vahanam means vehicle. We want to make it plural, masculine gender, vahanaha. Understand? Sometimes our buddhi becomes what? No? Vahini. What are it? Vahati. My God. All unwanted things it carries. Buddhi is what? Unwanted things. Vahini. Sometimes. Our mind also, no? picks up something, sees something there, and it carries. Mm-hmm. See some post, wall post there, that we read it, okay? We don't simply read it now, we read it. The train starts for 2 more minutes extra, then we read it. We can't help reading it. Because I see, that's why they put it there. And read it, and that's all. Poster is there, matter is still there, the subject matter has gone to the buddhi, and you become what? Your mind is the vahakaha, vaham, vahanam. Manaha vahanam buddhi vahini, understand now, it carried off vishaya vahini. Vishayam has been, is just gone in here, vahini. Like that, havya vahanaha, havis vahati iti vahanaha, one who can carrier off all the oblations, carries and gives it to whom? Typical postmaster job is just the Avagni does. It carries all the oblations. And if you say, you give Agni himself. No, Agni Eswaha, hey Agni, this is why you eat it. And then sometimes you say, Varna Eswaha, Vayav Eswaha, please take it and give it to Vayu. Surya Eswaha, when you say Suryan, no, it is Suryan, this was Suryan. When you say Agni is only, takes the oblations you give and gives it to, supposed to, okay, as it were, gives it to the sun god. That is why it's called Havya Vahanaha. So Havya Vahane, in the fire, into the fire, Pratipadayet. Not simply anywhere. And that fire, into the fire you have to offer means, how should it be? Not a smoky fire, but well-kindled fire. Yiddha means kindled. Nangi erikkappatta. Understand now? Enna solradhu? Kolundu vittu erigiradhu, neruppu kenna solradhu? Samidhe havya vahane. Kolundu vittu erigindra neruppil. So, Samidhe Havya Vahane means, in well-kindled fire, okay, where lots of flames come up, is called what? Samidha Havya Vahane. Samiddha Havya Vahanaha. In Samidhe Havya Vahane, in well-kindled fire, well-lit fire, well-properly lighted fire, what? Ahutihi Patipadayet. May one offer oblations. Understand? நன்கு எரிக்கப்பட்டு நெருப்பில் சமித்தே யுத்தம்னா டாக்டர் எரிக்க நன்கு எரிகின்ற சமித்தா மீன்ஸ் நன்கு எரிகின்ற ஸோ கொழுந்து விட்டு எரிகின்ற அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நவ் நாட் த ஸ்மோக்கி ஃபயர் ஸோ சமித்தே ஹவ்ய வாகனே ஆகுதிஹி பிரதிபாதையேத் மே ஒன் ஆஃபர் ஆப்லேஷன்ஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் தென் சமித்தம் மீன்ஸ் வாட் Once it is well kindled, definitely there must be flames. How do you make out the fire is well kindled? How do you know? There must be flames. No, I do have some well kindled fire, but there are no flames means. There is no fire. Well kindled fire implies lots of flames coming up. The tongues of flame should come up. Not like flames, no? The big flames. And then that's called archihi. Archihi means what? Archihi means a ray of light also is called archihi. Now you can say, in the ray of light, Surya Kiranam, when you say Surya Kiranaha, Kiranaha means a ray of light. Rashmihi means ray of light. Rashmi, Surya Rashmi, Surya Gabasti, Gabastihi, Rashmihi, no, Rashmihi, Gabastihi, and Kiranaha, all these words mean the same meaning, same thing. What? Ray. Ray of light. Like that, we have one more word for ray of light. It's called Archihi. That is why sun is called Archishman. Archishman, Gabastiman, Rashmiman. No way. கதிர்களை உடையவன் கிரணவான் தால் நேம் ஆஃப் திஸ் நேம் ஆஃப் சன் ரஷ்மிமான் கிரணவான் நோ அந்த விசே கபஸ்திமான் அம்சுமான் அம்சு ஆல்சோ மீன்ஸ் ரே ஆஃப் லைட் சோ மை நேம் தேர் ஃபார் த சன் காட் சோ அர்ச்சிஷ்மான் ஆல்சோ இஸ் நேம் ஆஃப் த சன் அர்ச்சிஷ் ஆர் அர்ச்சிஹி லிட்ரலி மீன்ஸ் ரே ஆஃப் லைட் அண்ட் இன் திஸ் கான்டெக்ஸ்ட் த அர்ச்சிஹி மீன்ஸ் ஃபிளேம் the tongue of fire. is called Archihi. So he Archihi, indeed, when fire is kindled well, then Archihi comes up. It comes up, no Archihi stands straight like this, unmoving, like that simple candle flame. Okay, it's a big, well-kindled fire's flame. So, lelayate. Listen, now it moves here and there. It starts moving about. It's called it dances. Okay, when the fire, flame of fire dances, fire is kindled well. Yada archihi le samiddehavya vahane. When the fire is kindled well, when then the flame of fire comes up, it starts moving here and there. That time may one offer oblations into that flames, not in a smoky flame fire. Then even where should you offer? Because already fire is the fire. Fire is in the Agni Kunda, isn't it? Then therefore he says very clearly, Tadu Ajabhagau Antarena. Ajabhagau Antarena. See, Ajabhagaha. Say that now. Ajabhagaha. Ajam means ghee. Which ghee? Ghee melted in sunlight is called Ajam. Not on fire, okay? Ghee melted in sunlight is called Ajam. So now you can melt even here in London. Okay, in this season. It's today, it's okay, it seems. Ajam means it melt in sun. So Ajam. And Ajabhagaha means the part, okay? The part of the offering of the ghee is called Ajabhagaha, the portion where the ghee is offered. It's called Ajabhagaha. Ajabhagau, when you say the two sides of the oblations. When you say Agni Kunda, there's a right side and a left side. When you perform a ritual, you sit always, this Agni Kunda in front of you, sit facing east. One sits facing east. Kilak nokki oruvan ukkarran. Then the two parts, there is a right side and the left side. It's called Ajabhagau. Ajabhagaha is one side. Ajabhagaha another side. Both together is what? Ajabhagau. Understand? The right and the left sides of the of oblations. Not the oblation actually. The in the kunda, Agni Kunda. Understand? There, antarena. Not in the right side, don't pour here, in the middle. How will you say? Antarena. Aja bhagayoho madhye. Okay? Bhagayoho madhye means aja bhagau antarena. In the middle of the two sides, okay? Of the right and left side of the place, sitting facing east, that is not mentioned here. You had understood, okay? I'm adding things. So, sitting facing east, in between the Ajabhagaha, in the middle of the Ajabhagaha, in the middle, in the this, that lay dancing flames, you offer, may one offer oblations. Over. Mantra is over. Is it clear now? You want to offer oblations. This is how the Agni is, fire ritual is performed. So any ritual, however big the ritual is performed, the basic things you know now. Even a kindergarten lesson on what? Performance of fire ritual. What should one do? There must be Agni Kundaha. Because if that is not said, the Upanishad expects the exposures to know there must be a fireplace. Because in terms of Peter's knowledge, if I tell him how to make rasam, if I tell him simply take some lime juice or tamarind juice or tomato juice and add something and make juice means, oh, what is that? And I say oil. And, oh, that you didn't tell. Sometimes now we for him now everything we have to say. Take a pan, light the chill, keep it there, then pour one spoon, a quarter spoon, quarter little more, spoon of oil, then wait for it to heat up, then add mustard seeds, then it will break. Immediately break, put the chili, or chilies will keep ready already, then put like that everything you had to explain, okay? He wants a complete, total look of Upanishad does not tell all those things, okay? Upanishad just tells us.
Like an Indian woman.
Because Indian, you see, what to do? It experts say, hey, there is Agni Kundam is not mentioned there. Agni Kundam is already there. Understand? And you kindle the fire. Don't ever, no? Kadanenu seyyade. Understand now? Don't do it what now and do it. Don't do it carelessly with any shraddha. But do it with all shraddha. So these are all the things which you should, you know, that is why oblation should be burnt well. Understand? Thereby it becomes ashes. The ashes, now, is it to be taken to or become offered to the actual Devata, and this thought with which you offer becomes what actually, you know, the karma. Understand now? It produces phalam. But you do not understand how it produces phalam. The mechanism involved in this ritual is not known to anybody. You can never know what is the how it works. How the ritual produces phalam? I want to know. I perform the ritual, but Radhaji is always interested in how. That we, no question should be asked, that you cannot know. It only said here. That is why yani mantrani kavayaha mantreshu apna, yani mantrani kavayaha mantreshu apashyan. Hey, those, what mantras they, what are the ritual they saw? They saw only this much. These are the things, this is how you have to perform. They only just revealed to us what they have seen. They can't tell how it works. They do not tell. The mantras do not tell, but they cannot tell us also. They just followed what is said there. Do this, do this, do this. It is how you have to do this. Chant this, finished. You get this palam. That's all. How I get this palam? No, that is not said here. No, that's why don't ask questions for which the answer is not there. But you know, because you're not telling how it works, I won't believe it. If you don't believe it, if you don't make use of it, you are the loser. Because it's a phalam definite. You would and get the phalam. You don't need to go and ask the doctor how it works. You don't need to know how it works. Just doctor said, come on, shut up your mouth, eat the medicine. You want to get the disease, eat it. Okay? The doctor tells and you believe, have trust in his words. And whether the trust, what he tells is true or not, see in enjoying the effect. But you don't need to know how it is effective, made effective. You don't need to know. That's not known. Understand? So Agnihotram, really, ritual, performed well, really blesses one with, it's a nitya karma. In fact, that is why Suryaya Swaha, you know, when you chant it, I mean, the Suryaya Surya and Hiranyagarbha, the two offerings, Agni and Hiranyagarbha, these offerings really blesses one with lots of prosperity and, you know, wealth and health. Okay, we say valam and nalam. It blesses one with both. That is why it is good. And also, the more one involves oneself in the rituals, especially the Vedic rituals, sacred karma, what happens? One cannot miss Ishvara there. Because this is something, even at least, even the other karma when you do, the sacred, religious, the secular action when you do, the mundane activity when you involve yourself in, even there, some ahankara is possible. I did it, so I got it done. Even though you do not see subtleness, how prapalam is really ordained by Ishvara in the form of law, you don't see here. But here you see this. Understand? You do not know, just you performed the ritual. And then you get the fruit. Isn't it? You really see Ishvara there. The one more you enjoy phalam, the more you acknowledge Ishvara. And also what more humble you become also. Then that is how the performance of ritual is a puja wherein you are totally with Ishvara. You are with Ishvara Bhagavan. And this helps one to neutralize also what one's, you know, the thinking. It helps one to have antakarna shuddhi also. The karma produced with the proper attitude, the more reverence you have for Ishvara, the more you bow to Ishvara, the more you feel humble in front of Ishvara, the more you try to live in tune with Ishvara, also what? The more you know, in fact, you see, more you are with Ishvara, it becomes yoga. It becomes antakarna shuddhi also. It really blesses one with antakarna shuddhi. That is why worship, any puja we perform in the temples also, which is substitute now, like abhishekam when you do, is a substitute for the fire ritual. It's not exactly the ritual, but still, the substitute for fire ritual. You don't do fire ritual, but you do abhishekam there. And if you know, don't abhishekam, don't do this fire ritual, at least light the lamp and bow to Ishvara in front of him. In nitya puja, every day, being thankful in your mind. Now, being thankful to Bhagavan is very important. That is one of forms of worship. You don't need to do any big ritual. Through the ritual, what Upanishad really tells you is, be grateful to the Lord. You don't need to be, it doesn't order you to be grateful. Think how you are blessed with everything. Upanishad doesn't even order you to be grateful. Upanishad cannot order anything. Cannot say anything, do's and don'ts, Upanishad does not say. Upanishad only makes you think how you are incapable of producing anything, creating anything on your own. How you are blessed with everything that you need to live this life. Thereby it helps you discover the gratitude which is already there in you. Gratefulness. Understand now, you just, and the reverence which is already there in you. You become naturally revered. No, you have great respect and reverence for the everything there. That is very important thing. That's why it becomes yoga also. It becomes karma performed well, becomes what? Karma yoga. It produces both punyam. Like how? Drishta phalam is definitely immediately there. Well performed ritual, in keeping the stipulations, with enjoined by the Veda. It creates drishtam phalam, immediate result. And also you acquire punyam, the adrishtam phalam, which is going to help you later on. Come as a later punyam also. You are going to enjoy later on. Drishtam and adrishtam produces both phalams. If you know the significance of performance of rituals, then you have learnt the significance of worship, then anything you do, that is why, once you know this, you become very humble and you are very grateful, you have great reverence and you reap the best of phalam. Isn't it? That's why it is very important. Now what I want to say, really it is very important for one to feel grateful. To be grateful, one has to be humble. To be humble, one has to discover one's helplessness. One has to acknowledge what all one blessed with. And that is what Upanishad makes us see. Isn't it? It's a very important thing. Very, very important thing. So, Upanishad says, now we can say this. Samidhe havya vahane. Say that now.
Samidhe havya vahane.
Yada archihi lelayate tada ajabhagau antarena ahutihi pratipadayet. Okay. We'll stop here. We'll do next month or next class. We'll stop here and we'll do our Purusha Suktam now.
Swami, if Agnihotra requires a thing to be continuous, is it? Or is it just, fire? If the fire goes out, that's not Agnihotra.
No. Fire goes out means that there won't be, the flames will be there, we won't be there, but the fire is always preserved.
No, but if I let the fire go out.
No, it doesn't go out at all. It has to be maintained.
Yeah, and so if it does
suppose it doesn't, it goes out by, most it won't go out. It will not go out at all because it's well kindled, no.
No, if I forget, if I go away.
No, then you have to again get.
So that's not the
No. Then again you have to go to your father, or one who performed Agnihotram, take fire from him, again you have to start doing the fire. Now suppose if you forget and the palam goes up that day's for the ritual.
Nothing.
No. That day's performance is gone. You have to go and get fire again from one who performed Agnihotram, bring Agni from that person.
But now your father's already stopped, no? The first time
you want to start now, you don't need to group it because now you
I'm just asking. So if this is the simplest and the fire goes out and you're in trouble.
Other rituals you can always do simple, directly you can kindle and do that. But this is the only ritual. Nitya Agnihotram is a daily ritual. Agnihotram is a daily ritual. That is why we have to see the fire is not put off. That is why we have substitute now. We don't have any fire ritual. Suppose we are somewhere out of, yeah. So that is why at least, see, what the spirit understand what Upanishad tells us, you don't need to perform the Agnihotram if you cannot. Now you are not living, okay? You are living in different setup. At least as a Hindu, as people who respect these values, respect these values. Even if you are, see, anybody can accept a value, isn't it? We can accept Einstein's E is equal to MC squared, irrespective of seeing who the person who's saying. It is a fact. Similarly, as a human being, everyone can understand the spirit behind what is being said here. What is spirit? We don't need to perform the very ritual. What is spirit behind the thing? Come on, you are here as an intelligent minded human being. You think and see, what are you creating here? What are you producing using your intelligence and knowledge? You are using your intelligence itself is given to you. Look at this. What are you creating? What are you producing? What are you manufacturing here? No, I manufacture this and that. How? I am using my intelligence. Who gave you the intelligence? There starts beginning, okay? Your buddhi is given to you first. You understand? Buddhi, you are not creating your own buddhi. Your intelligence is given to you. Blessed, you are blessed with intelligence. Then be humble. Come on. Do namaskaram. No? Fall flat for that first. You are blessed with intelligence. You have not created intelligence. Once you know, vanakkam. Humble. There is a using that buddhi, what do you do? Are you creating something new? No. I want to discover what is. You know what is available. You are creating iron, you are creating ore, you are not creating any metal, you are not creating, you are only just discovering what is. This is what is science. Buddhi is, you are blessed with buddhi, be humble. You also should understand you are blessed with, you are given, you will be humble. You cannot create once you know, you will be more humble. Then next is what? Using the buddhi, you discover what is. So you are not creating. Again, you become more humble. Then you make use of what is. Using the same buddhi. Technology, isn't it? What? You live your life comfortably. So who is there? Understand, this is what Upanishad makes you understand. You are blessed with intelligence. You are blessed with the knowledge, intelligence to make use of intelligence, discover what is. You are blessed with, okay, already things are given for you to be able to discover something must be that for you to discover, no? If it's not there, what do we discover? What is to be discovered also is already there. The capacity to discover is blessed, you are blessed with, and things to be discovered also already there. Once you discover what is, you make use of what is. So you live your life. So what do you think now? This is the spirit behind. This is Upanishad helps you to discover this. that you are blessed with everything. You are given everything that you need to live with this life. You don't need to create. You cannot create. Just you are part of the Jagat here. Understand? Once you discover it, as a human being, you can't deny this fact, isn't it? Irrespective of who the person is, Christian or Hindu or Muslim, doesn't matter. This is what Upanishad teaches. That's why it's a fact it is. You discover this, then you become humble. Then once you're humble, be grateful. You become grateful. Upanishad, you don't be grateful, Upanishad does not say. You become grateful if you discover the spirit behind the ritual. Is understood. Don't need to perform the same ritual. You can just be in your mind, you can be just grateful to Bhagavan. Oh Lord, thank you very much for everything that you have blessed us with. That is one sentence is expected from us. That is the spirit behind what now? The performance of ritual. You don't need to do the ritual. That is why the being thankful to Bhagavan with the understanding of the spirit behind the worship or puja is what, in fact, expert on our part. Isn't it? We don't think, isn't it? That's why I'm saying this is worship is a common thing here. It is not a fire ritual, Vedic ritual, only for a Hindu. That's not true.